I'd like to suggest that you take the time to read the early accounts of our Lord's life. I mean by that what are referred to as the infancy narratives of Saint Matthew and Luke. As you read, I think that you will experience a better insight into the narrations if you will remember or bear in mind that the facts there reported were undoubtedly revealed to the evangelist by our Blessed Lady herself. The episodes of, for instance, the Annunciation, and then the visitation by Our Lady to Saint Elizabeth and Zachary, the account of the baptism, or rather not the baptism, the naming of John the Baptist, all the experiences of Our Lady which have to do with her quandary with respect to Joseph and his quandary with respect to her, the accounts of the birth of Our Lord at Bethlehem, why they found themselves in a cave for the birth, the coming of the shepherds and the singing of the angels, the coming of the wise men and the flight into Egypt. For those two events, the taking of the child to Jerusalem in order that he might be circumcised and receive his name which we are offering a votive mass in honor of today. As I say, if you bear in mind that undoubtedly Our Lady is the source of this information, you can not only be certain of its careful accuracy, but also you can discover a new wonder. And the wonder is suggested in the words which these two evangelists record, that Mary kept all these things in her heart. Among the things that Our Lady dwelt upon was the event when Simeon came forth at the time of his naming. It is good if you remember that Our Lady and Saint Joseph did not know what the future of the child was going to be. That he was the Savior of the world, they knew. That he was God incarnate, they knew. But how he would save the world, and how his divinity would become the stumbling block and the obstacle and the testing point of the faith of all men, they could not then conceive. And Simeon came forth and took the child in his arms and said, "This child is destined for the rise and the fall of many in Israel, and to be a sign that shall be contradicted." And to Mary he said, "And thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that the thoughts of many hearts might be revealed." I ask you to bear two things in mind. First is that the name of Jesus means Savior. You recall that Saint John in his Apocalypse says that when they enter heaven, all those who are saved will receive a new name. And this new name will perfectly symbolize what it is that is most noteworthy about them, what it is that God himself would want to be regarded as most characteristic either their greatest virtue or their most endearing quality. That name which is chosen by God the Father for His Son is the name of Savior, or literally, God saves. And Simeon reveals that salvation will be won at the expense of some and for the glorification of others. He says that there's going to be a realignment, a total upset of the situation which then existed or would as the child grew and came into public light. He was saying that those who then reigned and those who then were in authority and whose words had to be listened to would be among those who would fall. And those who were nobodies, those who no one would listen to, namely the apostles, those who knew nothing and had no authority to say anything, no authority to require anyone to listen. These individuals who at that time, some of whom were not born, but even as young and middle-aged men, they could hardly have expected that their words would all of a sudden shake the power of Israel, which by no means was power that was inconsequential. The Romans found that they could deal with all the peoples and dictate to them and give them no quarter. But to Israel, to the nation of Palestine, they found it expedient to grant a degree of authority and independence, simply because there was no handling the Jews otherwise. There was no way to get along and no way that worse would not come of it. But Jesus, you understand, did and meant something that the Romans could not cause, the destruction of Israel, of that nation. And at the same time, Jesus meant the rise of not only the apostles as being the judges of the earth, and the judges even of all the tribes of Israel, but the apostles became those men most to be considered by the Romans. They became those who were most consequential, whose words were quoted, whose pastoral letters were copied and considered inspired. And then he says that Jesus will be a sign that shall be contradicted. Jesus is always the sign that is contradicted.